Welcome to our show, everybody. I'm Rick Pettigrew. Our stories from this past week of Archaeologica report on a surprising papal letter supporting the Norman conquest of England, a stone inscription that possibly links two Greek gods with the Minoans of Crete, a study of ancient water management systems in Colombia, and a newly found Christian church in Turkey that might be the site of the First Council of Nicaea. Thanks to everyone for supporting our subscription platform Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We have hundreds of titles you can binge upon, including our recent video series about searching for the lost aircraft of Amelia Earhart. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. Our tour program, TAC Tours, will continue in January 2027 with our tour of Maya cities in the Yucatan. Registration is still open for that. The link to our tour program is at archaeologychannel.org/tours. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. And now, here's Laura Kennedy with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of August 9th through the 16th, 2026. Our first story this week comes from England. Newly discovered fragments of a papal letter indicate how a fierce rivalry between popes might have affected William the Conqueror's invasion of England. As reported by The Independent, William the Conqueror, the Duke of Normandy, crossed the English Channel to invade England in AD 1066. He defeated Harold Godwinson at the historic Battle of Hastings during that same year. Artisans famously commemorated this legendary clash in the 230-foot-long Bayeux tapestry. Historically, scholars have understood the main cause of the Norman conquest to include the death of Edward the Confessor and the ensuing power struggles for the English throne. Now, a discovery of a long-lost letter from Pope Alexander II in the Vatican archives offers another profound cause. While time destroyed many of the Pope's letters, a medieval canon law collection luckily protected two fragments of this critical document. According to Tim Lysons, a professor of medieval history and literature at the University of East Anglia, different factions elected two rival popes in 1061. The first claimant was Alexander II, who authored this letter. The second was Bishop Catulus of Parma, who took the name Honorius II. The Holy Roman Empire, large parts of Northern Europe, and possibly England supported Honorius. This geopolitical support may have driven Alexander to back William's invasion of England. In the surviving letter excerpts, Alexander, whom the Normans supported, claims that England had lost the protection of St. Peter because people pledged to Satan led Britons astray. This intense rhetoric demonstrates how Alexander's faction perceived the Norman conquest not merely as an earthly battle for royal succession, but as a righteous spiritual battle against the followers of Satan. A possible alliance between King Harold and Honorius would have fully legitimized the invasion as just a religious war. No other physical evidence indicates that Harold supported Honorius, but Alexander's fiery letter strongly suggests it. The letter provides remarkable insights into the broader political and religious context around the Battle of Hastings, including the complex web woven between church and state. The findings indicate that conflicts in Italy, almost 1,000 miles away, directly shaped the fate of England. Next, we travel to the Mediterranean island of Crete in Greece. An inscription in Linear A on a miniature stone offering table hints at a deep connection between Minoan and Greek deities. The proposed translation reveals earlier ancestral forms of the Greek gods Dionysus and Demeter. As reported by the Greek Reporter, language scholars cannot truly read Linear A yet. While researchers can decipher many individual signs, full comprehension remains impossible. The new study, conducted by independent researcher Michael Schumann, compares the artifact's inscription to other known Linear A texts and similar vocabulary words from ancient Indo-European languages. Archaeologists discovered the miniature stone libation table at the summit sanctuary of Mount Yuktas. The mountaintop sanctuary served as an important ritual and religious center for ancient peoples. Craftsmen fashioned the small table out of dark green and black serpentinite. The artifact now resides in the Archaeological Museum of Heraklion and dates back to the Minoan Neopalatial period, which marked the golden age of Minoan civilization between 1700 and 1450 BC. The ancient inscription flows elegantly along the sides of the stone table. Schumann's full translation reads, "Father of the bull contest of Dicti, weep the tears. May the libation offering flow in streams in the sanctuary of God Tinu and Idamate." The god Tinu comes from a specific written sequence that reads Tana Ra Te U Tinu. According to Schumann's linguistic interpretation, Tana Ra translates as the sanctuary, and Te U means of the god. He argues that Tinu represents an early Minoan form of Dionysus. The earliest known written form of the god's name appears as the Mycenaean Greek word Diwonuso, which contains a remarkably similar nu sound. If Diwonuso represents an evolved form of Tinu, this linguistic bridge would link the Linear A Minoan script to the later Linear B writing system that the Mycenaeans used for the earliest form of written Greek. This religious connection would help researchers learn far more about the complex interplay of Minoan and Greek spiritual traditions. The name Idamate corresponds to a damaged section near the end of the text, where the only visible writing remains the sequence Ida. In comparison to other Linear A writings, Schumann argues that the full original sequence was Idamateke. In his interpretation, the figure Idamate connected directly to the goddess Demeter, while the suffix ke simply means and. The possible inclusion of both Dionysus and Demeter in the summit sanctuary brings up fascinating historical questions. Furthermore, the beginning of the inscription connects to the primary deity from Mount Dicti, another important Cretan religious site. Finally, the study argues that references to weeping tears and flowing offerings carry deep symbolic meanings. The ultimate strength of the study conclusions remains uncertain, as archaeologists cannot yet confirm the accuracy of these translations or direct cultural connections between these similar figures. However, if further peer research can bolster the translation, it will provide critical insights into early Minoan and Greek religious traditions. Schumann published his findings in the digital repository journal Zenodo. Our third story takes us to La Mojana in the Colombian Caribbean region. A new scientific study analyzing pre-Hispanic water management systems determines that ancient populations built these networks without any centralized power. Archaeologists argue that a similar decentralized approach could help address current water shortages today. As reported by phys.org, the expansive water network covers around 500,000 hectares, or 1.2 million acres, of raised fields and ridge canal systems. The societies who constructed this infrastructure were contemporary to the ancient Maya and other state-level civilizations. They utilized these systems from the late 1st millennium BC to the 11th century AD. The raised field network protected crops from severe droughts and floods by managing massive amounts of rainwater and redirecting moisture during dry seasons. Complex canals moved water from permanent sources to sustain intensive agriculture. According to study lead author Dr. Jasmine Vieri, a researcher from the University of Cambridge, previous generations of scholars assumed that a hierarchical chiefdom led the construction due to the system's sheer complexity. The new study argues instead that local communities organized themselves without external control, erecting these large structures in short periods of time. An international team of researchers from the University of Cambridge, the Colombian Institute of Anthropology and History, and the University of Santiago de Compostela conducted the research. They published their findings in the professional journal Communications Sustainability. The team mapped roughly 500 acres of the system within the municipality of San Marcos in Sucre, uncovering the dimensions of over 1,500 ridges and 63 housing platforms. The ridges measured an average of 1.6 meters high from the bottom of adjacent canals. Researchers formulated a new method to measure the labor and societal organization required for these projects. They combined metrics for moved earth volumes, population density, available technology, and indigenous practices to estimate required work hours. Using a conservative estimate of an 800-person workforce drawn from a total population of 1,600, the team discovered that a single canal ridge system could be built in just 2 months. This required much less labor than scholars previously assumed. The study belongs to the Reverse Action Project, based at Cambridge. The project highlights how collective action and technology operate within stateless societies. The study results indicate that pre-Hispanic communities cooperated effectively with each other and their natural environment. Raised field systems fell out of use for unclear reasons well prior to the Spanish conquest in the 16th century. Modern Colombia faces significant challenges with water management today, often relying on strategies that block water with dikes rather than redirecting it effectively. According to the study authors, this modern system proves largely ineffective. The research team hopes their study demonstrates how local communities can adopt these historical methods collectively, quickly, and without state intervention. We conclude our week in the town of İznik in Turkey. Archaeologists have uncovered an early Christian church that they believe hosted the First Council of Nicaea. This historic council proved fundamental in establishing core Christian doctrines. As reported by the Greek Reporter, the First Council gathered Christian bishops together in AD 325 as the first ecumenical council to resolve major theological debates. Participants explicitly rejected the teachings of Arius of Alexandria that Jesus Christ was a created being with a distinct beginning in time, affirming instead in the Nicene Creed that Jesus Christ was both begotten and divine. Archaeologists discovered a large basilica submerged under the waters of Lake İznik in 2014. The modern town of İznik was known in antiquity as Nicaea. Researchers identified this large structural ruin as the Church of Holy Fathers. They noticed at the time that a stone floor extended well beyond the visible outer walls, prompting suspicions that an older building lay underneath. In July of 2026, an international research team conducted targeted excavations. The team dug exploratory trenches near the church sanctuary and verified that the exposed floor extended outside the main building, revealing the foundational structure of a much smaller church directly below. According to excavation director Mustafa Shaheen, a scholar from Uludag University, the research team believes this smaller, original church was the Church of St. Neophytos, where bishops convened for the First Council. A powerful earthquake destroyed that original sanctuary in AD 368. The team supported these dates using recovered coins from graves located beneath the later church. They suggest that Christians erected the Upper Church of the Holy Fathers in AD 380 to commemorate the earlier council site. Researchers also linked the smaller lower structure with historical records, noting that council attendee and bishop Eusebius of Caesarea recorded meeting inside a small church that matches these new excavations. The team will continue ongoing research to confirm definitively that this newly excavated lower church served as the exact site of the council. Confirmation will illuminate one of the most pivotal moments in Western religious history. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Also, be sure to check out our growing subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, at heritagetac.org. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.